This evening we have two readings, the first from Psalm and the second from Titus. So if you would please turn with me to Psalm 133. We read all the verses. Psalm 133 from verse 1. Behold, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. It is like the precious oil on the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the collar of his robes. It is like the dew of Hebron, which falls on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord has commanded the blessing, life forevermore. So now we move to Titus. Where we read from chapter 1, the first 9 verses. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the sake of the faith of God's elect and the knowledge of the truth, which accords with goodness in hope of eternal life, which God, who never lies, promised before the ages began, and at the proper time manifested his word through the preaching with which I have entrusted by the commandment of God, our Saviour. To Titus, my true child in a common faith, grace and peace from God the Father and Jesus Christ, our Saviour. This is why I left you in Crete, so that you might put what remains in order and appoint elders in every town as I directed you. If anyone is above reproach, the husband of one wife, and his children are believers and not open to the charge of debauchery or insubordination. For an observer, as God's steward, must be above reproach. He must not be arrogant or quick-tempered or a drunkard or violent or greedy for gain, but hospitable, a lover of good, self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. He must hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught, so that he may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine and also to rebuke those who contradict it. So far, God's word.
Again, I would encourage you to keep your Bibles open this afternoon, as we'll be referring to different portions, particularly of Titus 1, that relate to verse 5 and what Paul established in Crete as he directs Titus that he may put in order what remained and appoint elders in every town as he is directed. Let's ask the Lord's blessing on his word this afternoon. Our Heavenly Father, we know your word is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. Sets forth how we are to understand the appointment of office bearers and your design for the office. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you would help us in a world which does not thrive in recognizing authority and submitting to that. We pray that you would give us a different heart, a different direction, a different vision to honor and glorify you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved people of God, this afternoon we're going to be looking at God's office design. And I don't know if you had the chance to read the sermon or even hearing me say that, what comes to mind? When we think of office design, frequently we would think of a place, a room with a desk or a table. In the corporate world, it's been the latest trend. I don't know if it's still a trend, but it's been the latest development to have what is called an open office design, where everything is open. It's a big room, and there's cubicles where people have their workstations. And these workstations can be interchangeable and used by any as they go through their days working. 2020 has been the year of the home office, where when we couldn't go into work, we worked from home. And whether you had the room or not, you needed to carve out a place to go online and to get your work done if you worked with computers. God's office design Are we talking about the architectural character of an office? How to plan and design? When we say God's office design, is this the ideal work environment for us to get our work accomplished? Yes and no. The ideal work environment that we're considering is the ideal work environment for the gospel. For God to work with his gospel of grace to powerfully and effectively remind us what he is doing and what we are called to recognize in his accomplishment with the office. And so we'll have an introduction, and then we'll consider from God's word what the calling is and what the office design is that our Lord has. Secondly, in making known the word, and thirdly, that it's arranged in the churches. But by way of introduction, let's consider what God's word says about office. Office is not necessarily a place, but a person, an office bearer, we may say. A person whom God has called with a responsibility to fulfill a task. And when we think of office, sadly today in the 21st century, we don't often think this way. And we come to church and we have this place of office. We have the laying on of hands. We have the vows for ordination. We have an ordination form. And sometimes I think it seems like the practices of the church can be like putting a wagon wheel on an electric vehicle. And it's two different systems that just don't seem to fit. And yet, we need to go to God's word, and we need to consider that this is God's design. In the Heidelberg Catechism, as we've been proceeding through the Lord's days, we've considered our relationship with Adam, that Adam was our representative. And because of what he did, it has affected every one of us. We are dead because of what he did. You see, that's because Adam had an office. And again, we think of a place, paradise. Oh, we know that. And what a beautiful place that would be. But that's not what God's word is talking about. Office is not a place. It's a person with a task, and he had a task, and he had a mission to live in the covenant of works in such a way that where he obeyed, we would receive the blessings that flowed from that. And if we disobeyed, or if he disobeyed, we would receive the curses. This is a bit how Paul opens. It's not a bit. It is how Paul opens the book of Titus. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ. Paul didn't write this book as a man of wisdom. He didn't write this book as an authority on a subject. He wrote this book as someone called by God. Someone who'd been given an office, a mission, a responsibility, and a task to fulfill on God's behalf. And that's how it was with Adam. Adam was called by God and appointed in paradise as what we regard as our head, our representative, our covenant representative, to listen and to obey his God. And this was his office. In creation, he had the office of prophet, to make known God's word, to listen to God's word, to follow God's word. He had the office of priest, to worship his God in holiness and in perfection, and king, to rule on God's behalf, to rule over and have dominion over all of creation, to subdue the earth and to fulfill God's word, to care and tend all of God's work. His office wasn't something he put his hand up for. It was God's divine appointment. And that's what we heard this afternoon as well in the ordination of these brothers to the office of elder and deacon. Do you believe that in the call of this congregation, you are called by God himself? You see, we haven't put them in office. God has called them to this office. He is the one who appointed them, and he used the means. Isn't it tremendous how God is working? He uses the means of our process of nomination, of election, And our evaluation for the criteria that we read in Titus 1, for instance, he uses these to work out his purpose among us. This is his design. Now, sadly, with Adam, that was horribly ruined by sin. But God promised another covenant head, Jesus Christ, our mediator, the second Adam, a new prophet, a perfect priest, and an almighty king. We need to recognize and we need to understand from God's word that what was horribly destroyed by Adam's sin, that office that he had as our covenant representative, his being a prophet, priest, and king, that which was thoroughly destroyed by sin is restored by Christ in his redemption. Through Christ and through him alone can our office as prophet, priests, and kings be restored, be made new, be made whole. Our purpose, our identity, our mission as believers. Christians are called by God and they are to serve in this office. But the thing we need to understand by way of introduction this afternoon is what was lost by Adam is restored by Christ. And it's not a random activity. It is actually an official activity that God has designed and God has appointed. This is what he was doing with Israel. Isn't it marvelous when we can sing just as we did from, it was Psalm 105. Imagine this, as Israel was wandering from place to place. He would not permit Israel to be oppressed. For his people's sake, mighty kings he addressed. Touch not my anointed. To me they belong. Respect my own prophets and do them no wrong. God knew the character of Israel. He knew their unfaithfulness. He knew their struggles with disobedience, and yet he says, they're my anointed, they're my appointed, they're my people with my purpose. And so don't touch them, because I have a design for them. And that design is what was worked out in Jesus Christ. And through his restoration, then, we begin to understand a unique and distinct purpose. It flows from his method. And that, secondly, this afternoon, is making known the word. Notice verse 3, that God has a design, this glorious restoration that is part of God's vision. And we need to capture this vision that God has for the church of Jesus Christ, this vision that God has for us as the body of Christ, for you as a Christian, a vision for you in this world. And there's this restoration, first of all, of our identity. For the sake of the faith of God's elect, Paul is writing this word. For the sake of the faith of God's elect, Paul's office as an apostle, he recognizes, was not an end in itself, but he has been given this task for the sake of bringing the elect from all the nations, and Paul particularly was the apostle to the Gentiles. And so he was tasked to bring the good news of the gospel beyond Israel, out into the farthest reaches of the world, and to make known the reality of Jesus Christ, what he has done. How he is the one who restores what was horribly corrupted by Adam. Paul's office before God, as appointed by God, was this. Was for the sake of God's elect and their knowledge of the truth. It was for the sake of their understanding, of grasping. They'd been living on lies, and now they needed to know the truth. And verse 2, in the hope of eternal life. And all these three reflect the character of a restored office bearer. The faith that we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the knowledge of the truth that we thrive on God's word, and the hope of eternal life is the character of the office of believer. And what's so important is God's design of how this happens. The gospel works according to the way God has arranged it to accomplish His purpose. And that's what God is showing us here in Titus. Consider this in these first two verses, that the result of what God is doing through Paul as the apostle, as he's working to bring believers from the Gentiles, that comes through God's eternal plan. And so verse 3, we see at the proper time he manifested his word through the preaching with which I have been entrusted by the command of God our Savior. It says Paul is going with the command of Christ. He's going out and he's making known. And this was promised before the ages began. Isn't that remarkable that God had this plan from eternity and he held it back while it lived in the nation of Israel. But now Christ has come and he's fulfilled that work and he says, now I need you to restore all that has been lost in Adam. Go out into the world and announce the wonder of salvation in Jesus Christ. At the proper time, at God's appointed time, He made this known in His Word. That which had been planned, promised before the ages began. God has an eternal design. And I've said it before, how we celebrate sovereign grace, yes indeed, that God in His design chooses and brings people to faith. That grace is sovereignly applied by the work of the Holy Spirit. Indeed, that's glorious. But God also has a method by which sinners are to be saved. For them to hear the word, to be called by God, and to have that calling move from a general calling, where it's a summons to repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, to an effectual calling by the operation of the Holy Spirit that some will hear and believe. God uses an office to bring us to Christ. He uses the preaching to accomplish His purpose. That's what Paul is saying here in verse 3. For which I have been entrusted by the command of God our Savior, entrusted with this task, this purpose of preaching. It's what we heard this morning in Ephesians 4, that he gave Christ, the ascended Lord, gave gifts to men, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers. This is a command of Christ, our Savior, of God. The restoration of office comes in the making known of God's word. And of course this, thirdly, needs to be arranged in the church. The gift of office bearers is the arrangement of God. That's why Paul moves on in verse 5. This is why Paul says, I left you in Crete. He says this to Titus, who was an evangelist. I left you in Crete so that you might put what remained into order and appoint elders in every town as I directed you. Ordination is not just a tradition. It's not about the ability of the people that are being ordained. It's about how God wants His church arranged. But this is a calling from God Himself. This is why we have office bearers in the church. It's part of God's design for bringing the elect to faith. It's part of God's design for bringing the knowledge of the truth. It's part of God's design for the hope of eternal life. But here again, we need to recognize it's also part of God's design to equip the saints, to equip you, brothers and sisters, for works of service. And as we consider that this afternoon, the office of minister, the office of elder, the office of deacon is never an end in and of itself, just to have them there as figureheads. To say, oh, how glorious it is. God wants this office bearers, minister, elder, and deacon, for the well-being of his people, to equip you for works of service. That you would grasp and rejoice and be comforted in the wonder of God's office design. That he is restoring you to the office of believer, to the office of prophet, priest, and king. Elders, you do this as shepherds of God's flock, as under shepherds, leading and guiding in the truth of the work of Jesus Christ, of encouraging those who are faint and weary, of pursuing those who are wandering, of admonishing those who are stubborn and rebellious, and to show them that to live without Christ is death itself. Deacons do this in the ministry of mercy, showing the love and compassion that Christ has for those who are in need and for those who are oppressed. But people of God, it doesn't stop with the elders and deacons or with the minister preaching. It continues through you. God's office design is to equip you to live in Christ, to see that you need to grow up into him, that you live through Christ, that none of us is able to attain that but in and of ourselves. But we know what Christ has done and what he has promised and how in him we are a new creation. We're part of that new world order. Not an Aldous Huxley reality, but the certain reality of our King, Jesus Christ. So we live in Christ, we live through Christ, and we live for Christ. So go this week. Enjoy your office. Not a place, but a person. The Lord Jesus Christ, who has created, saved, and sanctified you to be his prophet, priest, and king. Pray for your office bearers, because this is the arrangement that God has established in his church. Without them, you would be impoverished in the calling that God has given to you. But with them, you lack nothing of God's design. Pray for your office bearers, that they may lead you in him, to him, through him. And may God see his design functioning and flourishing, just like we hear of the blessing of unity that is found in Israel in Psalm 133. It's the precious oil on the head running down on the beard of Aaron. This is the oil of anointing. That what God had bestowed on Aaron and upon the priests would trickle down to the ends of his robe and affect everything around him. It's like the dew which falls from Mount Hermon. And in this way, God's people will be united in his design. May God help us to see this, to pray for this, and to rejoice in this. His office design. Amen.